Patrick Morrissey.
And Mr. Morrissey, where were you born?
Born in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And who were your parents?
Sydney and Vivian Morrissey.
And what did they do for a living?
At the time they got married, they both worked at the state capitol in St. Paul.
I see. What did they do?
I'm not sure. but her name, her maiden name was Morrissey.
Uh-huh.
And so I suppose that's one of the ways they became acquainted. They both have the same last name.
Interesting. Where did you go to school?
Well, I went to school in Fargo through the fourth grade. Then we moved to Langdon, North Dakota, graduated from high school there. Went to NDSU for, it was AC back then, but
uh-huh.
SU for about a year and a half. Well, I went to St. Thomas one year. And anyway, the war came and I went in the Army for 3 years, 2 months, and 7 days.
Now, were you drafted or did you enlist on
your own? I tried to enlist in the Navy, but my eyes weren't good enough. So I enlisted in the Army, and they called me, in basic training, first of all, they gave us various tests. And I scored well enough, apparently, to get into what they called Army Specialized Training Program, ASTP. And I went for about 6 months to Oklahoma State. They were going to make us engineers. But then the war took a turn, apparently, and they decided they needed soldiers more than they needed engineers. And so I went into the infantry in Camp Maxey, Texas, in the 99th Infantry Division. And we went overseas in, let's see, August of 44. And then the bulge started in December 16th of 44. We were in the front lines when that happened.
What was that like?
Well, it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Our division got hit pretty hard. We were attacked by about two different divisions of German soldiers, and one rather huge panzer group. There were two German armies that attacked in the Battle of the Bulge. In the north, it was the 6th Army, and in the south, where Bastogne was, it was the 5th Army. But anyway, they started out their campaign with about a two-hour artillery barrage. But we were in the woods in Belgium, and we were pretty well dug in. Another guy and I had it was kind of a dugout. It was a foxhole with the earth and wood cover over it. But we were pretty well protected from aerial shrapnel and so on. So we survived that okay, but shortly thereafter the Germans attacked infantry. And they pretty quickly overran our position. And a lot of our company, and you know, one of the funny things about combat fighting was you only know what's going on in your little area. And we didn't know that this was a rather large battle taking shape. As it turned out, it was one of the largest pitched battles, or the largest pitched battle that the Army has ever fought in. Mm-hmm. It was about 700,000 troops involved on each side. And, they overran our position, and for for the first day, and the we survived the first day, and then the second day we pulled back about half a mile to battalion headquarters, what was left of our battalion. There was only about, when this thing was over, and about, anyway, we were behind the German lines by that time, because they had moved on.
How many in a battalion?
About 1,200.
Okay.
And there was only, when we counted up after we finally got back to our own lines, there was only 67 left of us in our company. Out of 193. Some were wounded, some were killed, most of them captured. And there was, out of our battalion, there was, I've got the figure someplace, but no more than a couple hundred. We got hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, we joined up with another battalion that third morning, and we tried to work our way out, and, which we finally did to a little town in Belgium, Krinkel. And I didn't know any of this because we were confused and tired, and I don't think I slept much for those 3 days. I was a radio operator, and there was two of us, the radio operators, and we had an SCR 300. But anyway, he got wounded, so he was evacuated that first day. So I carried that radio, and I was one of the few radios I got the radio out. We went back out through the 2nd Division after some kind of harrowing experience and thing. Then we were put into position on a place at the Elsenborn in Belgium. It was on a ridge overlooking a little valley. And then on the other side of the valley, there were wooded area. And the Germans were in the wooded area, and they attacked our position over 6-7 times. But by that time, we had concentrated our artillery so that there was about 200 field artillery pieces that could fire on anyone. So they attacked us with infantry and tanks, with that massive firepower, it just pulverized them. So we were there for about a little over a month in this position where we were grouped, and the bulge constituted about a 50-mile advance, and about 50 or 60 miles from north to south, if the Germans penetrated our line's about 50 miles, and that's where the bulge came from.
Mm-hmm.
Bastogne, they've gotten a lot of the publicity. They were down in the south, and there's no reason they shouldn't get the publicity. But I think a lot of it was based on that answer that the general gave to the offer to surrender. And the Germans, and he said, nuts. And that captured the imagination. But anyway, the Germans went right around the 101st in Bastogne. And so while they were surrounded, and it was very, very difficult for them, and they were relieved by Patton's army coming up from the south. Our northern hinge, they call it, pretty much stopped the main advance, so they had to detour south of us, and they'd upset their timetable by about 4 or 5 days. Anyway, it helped.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's about it. You read my little book, or did you?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've explained something.
Yeah.
We then went on the attack, and we drove to the Rhine River, we and other units, of course. And then we were relieved for a couple of weeks. And we got recruits and built our strength back up again.
So you got R&R, is that what they call it?
Yeah, I had a pass to Paris, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm. How long a time were you there?
3 days. It was tough coming back.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But it helped.
Yeah.
Helped relieve some of the tension. So. Shortly after we got back, they captured the bridge across the Rhine River, the Mauger. And so we immediately got on trucks and we moved down there. And our division was the first full division across the line. Then we went up and swung up and into what they call the Ruhr Pocket. And, the Germans were surrounded and eventually surrendered after a couple of weeks, I suppose. About 300 and some thousand of them.
300,000?
Yeah. But they had no place to go.
Yeah.
It was kind of awesome seeing them moving back from. See, we'd gone around from Remagen north, and so this pocket was between the Rhine River and our troops advancing, and we were hemmed in. And it was kind of awesome to see those several hundred thousand troops, German troops, and we didn't have time to relieve them of their weapons, but they just were endless stream of them. Going to concentration. Where were they put? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they had their weapons and their tanks, and but they had surrendered. So that was the end of their war.
Uh huh. And this was 1945.
It was 1945.
What month are we looking at?
Well, let's see.
Spring?
That was about in. It was probably March going into April,
yeah,
because the war was over in May.
Mm-hmm.
And after that Ruhr Pocket was eliminated, we moved our division down to the 3rd Army, which was where Patton was.
Mm-hmm.
And we continued eastward after we wound up in Austria when the war ended. And we occupied from then until we had a little town around Frankfurt, two little towns that we stayed in. And in August, they dropped the first atomic bomb, and I had known enough about chemistry. I took chemistry when I was in St. Thomas. And I can remember quite vividly the a professor saying that, and I suppose he was talking about uranium, but he says that if that can be harnessed, a very small amount of that would be enough to blow up the state of Minnesota. So anyway, I figured that the war was going to be over, so I asked to be transferred back to the States. And normally that transfer meant that you would have a furlough and then go over to the Pacific area.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, by the time I got to Le Havre, France, and there was a storm in the English Channel, so I didn't get to Southampton until too late to catch the troop transport. Mm-hmm. And so I went back to Le Havre, and I was there until February of 45. I finally got back to the States and got discharged. That was it.
So you actually left before the war was officially over then?
No.
You didn't?
No. We occupied from May until August.
Okay.
And then pretty much the units were being disbanded by then,
okay.
Including our division.
And then where were you disbanded to once you got back to the States?
Well, by the time I got back to the States, I was just discharged.
Oh.
I landed in New York and went to Camp McCoy, Wisconsin, and just discharged.
Did the paperwork and the...
Yeah. They didn't take that.
Did you have any injuries when you were fighting at the Battle of the Bulge?
Not a scratch.
Not a scratch. That's just awesome.
Very fortunate.
Yeah. How about some of the soldiers that you were working with, your buddies? Any of them?
Well, we, for instance, that first day, the morning of the third day, we were trying to get out from behind the German lines. And so we were forming up to move out someplace. And our third platoon was down the road a little bit, and they formed up on the road. It was really just a trail of woods, and the Germans jumped up on both sides of it and captured them. And later on that, in April, I think it was April, yeah, we liberated a prisoner of war camp, and our practically a whole third platoon was there. So,
what kind of shape were they in?
They were in pretty good shape. They hadn't been there very long.
Oh. Okay.
But they were glad to see us.
No doubt. Yeah. So you got discharged from Wisconsin, and how did you resume your life?
Oh, that was in February, and I stayed home. We were living in Cooperstown, North Dakota, and my folks were there. And I was just, I was 22 years old. And that fall, I went back to JC and finished up my degree in mechanical engineering and went to work.
Where'd you go to work?
Went to work at Minot for Truax Trailer Coal Company. I took the special training. I had an engineering degree, and I took a little special correspondence course and some training. And I became what they called a combustion engineer. And we sold lignite coal to power plants. Well, we sold a lot of lignite coal.
Mm-hmm.
Residential places back then were still burning a lot of coal, mm-hmm. homes, but also in power plants to generate electricity, which is still doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I called on power plants in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota for coal company for about 8 years, and then I went to work for a electrical manufacturing company. And I traveled North Dakota, Montana, and part of Wyoming. I was with them for about 8 years, and then I went to work for the Dakota Electric Supply Company in Fargo. And I was with them for 20 years, and retired as president of the company.
So. That's fantastic. Terrific. Do you have any final thoughts about what you went through during the time you served your country?
Well, it was kind of interesting, and again, it's in that total story. But I got a call about 10 years ago now. Whenever it was, from one of the guys from our company, as in Company C. And he informed me that they had annual reunions of our division. And so he says, why don't you come to one of them? So I went to my first one in Dallas. And it was fascinating because at these reunions of the division is about 17,500 troops, and with replacements, we have probably 23,000 or 24,000. So there was a lot of them came to these reunions. Now, as years go by, there's fewer and fewer, of course, for a number of reasons. But anyway, it was fascinating because Company C had their own entertainment room. There were division-wide meetings and events and banquets and stuff like that. But for the everyday conversations, you met in little groups like we did. Mm-hmm. And they had little contests too. Anyway, one of the interesting things in Dallas. Back a ways. When we got out of this, got through our own lines, it was middle of the night. It was raining. It was just miserable. It was cold. And but we finally got through. Oh, we got shelled by our own artillery. And,
oh no!
Yeah, it, what is it saying? Like but anyway, we finally got out. And exhausted and hungry. Well, I wasn't hungry, just exhausted. And they these are real small towns, 200 people. But anyway, there was a barn there, so some of us went up in the loft and went to sleep. And shortly thereafter, a guy came up and started yelling at us that there was some wounded back where we had been, and he needed some volunteers. Nobody said a word. And he says, come on, you SOBs. He says, those are your comrades out there. Well, anyway, so I was one of some of us that went back, and we came on one of our guys, from my company, and pitch dark and still raining, and it was miserable. And he was screaming. We put him on the stretcher, and of course we were just whipped. And we had to climb a ditch to get up on this little road, and we'd get part way up, and one of us would slip, and then he'd start screaming. And we finally got him up on the road. We turned him over to the 2nd Division. But anyway, when I was in Dallas at this first reunion, and I was telling the story, and there was a little guy there, and he says, yeah, he says, I was right next to him. I said, right next to who? He says, that guy that you picked up, Red Newsom. all that. He says, I was wounded too. I said, my God, why didn't you say something? He said, you guys are busy. I said, what happened? Well, he said, he was wounded and he couldn't walk. But he says he woke up the next morning when it was daylight, and he said there was a kind of a half-assed shelter. And he said there was water, of course, and he said, I guess I had some rations. So he said, I was there for a couple days, and he says, one time he woke up and there were Germans there. So they took him to a hospital, and he was in the hospital till the war was over, and he was repatriated. Kind of interesting. So anyway, I went to that reunion in Dallas, then I went to one in San Francisco, and Denver, and Kansas City, and Detroit. Anyway, I went to about six of them since then. And yeah, and they've been meeting every year, and I think this year is going to be in Pittsburgh. I'm not going to it, but it's kind of sad to see, because I'm 78 years old, and I was one of the young ones.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that do make it, and there's fewer every year, because they're old, and they're beat up, and they're crippled, and some of wheelchairs and so on. But it's kind of nice to see them.
Mm-hmm. Aside from the reunions, have you kept in contact with any special buddies throughout the years?
Yeah, I have. At this Dallas and subsequent meetings, there were four or five guys that I, one in particular lives in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and we correspond somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guy that called me from Dallas, he was a sergeant in our company. And he was quite active. In fact, he was a 99th Division Association president one year. So he was active in the Alumni Association, mm-hmm. I'll call it that. And, but he died, about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was too bad. Mm-hmm. He'd call frequently and just visit. And, he was from Atlanta, Athens, Georgia. He had a real southern girl.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1994, I found out later that they'd had what they called battlefield tours. But this was kind of a special one, because it was 50 years after the Bulge. And there was a battlefield tour that was in, I think it was in October. And so I went to it, went on it. There was the guy that was kind of in charge of it was a Belgian native. And but he grew up and was educated in England, and he made a pretty much life work out of studying World War II and the battles around Belgium, where he was born and raised, or partially raised, I suppose. But he was and is an expert on our division and what happened to us. There were three busloads of us. And it was comprised of veterans, family, and friends. He took us to some of these places that were, and that's where I found out what happened when we were surrounded, where I got out of.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was it like to go back there? 50 years after.
Well, it was. I got some pictures. It was mm-hmm. fascinating. And as a matter of fact, like I said, we were in the when that battle started. We were in the forest mm-hmm. in Belgium. Matter of fact, we were just across the international highway we were in Germany, but just barely. But anyway, there was these forests, and in Belgium, these forests are pretty much reserved for nature outings and so on. But they're pretty much untouched. They harvest the trees periodically. Mm-hmm. But that, anyway, we went back to where we were attacked, and this other friend of mine who prevailed on some of these Belgian people to take us where we were, and I found my old foxhole.
Wow.
It was just a depression in the ground by then. But it was there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's kind of another side like these. There's a group of young, or middle-aged people, in their 40s, probably. They call them the diggers. But they've made a hobby, if you will, of digging for artifacts in all these battlefields in Belgium.
Interesting.
And there was an article in the... They found remains of some of our soldiers and so on. There was an article in the Fargo Forum here, two or three years ago, about a year and a half ago probably. And they found three soldiers that they've been searching for with the help of some of our veterans. Because, and one of them was from Battle City. These diggers are the ones that found them. And they find dog tags and all kinds of paraphernalia associated with soldiers. But they have found a number of missing, if you know.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Amazing. Did you ever see the movie Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
Having been through the Battle of the Bulge, how did you feel Hollywood portrayed that?
It was interesting. There's another... One of my friends that I was with in Dakota Electric Supply Company, his name is Jim Rosendahl, and he was wounded in World War II quite severely. He was in the hospital for a couple of years. But anyway, he was in the 69th Division. And, he went with me on that battlefield tour in 1994, and we found out that the 69th Division was a newer division, and that they relieved us in February. And so, and then he was wounded about 2 weeks after that. So, unbeknownst to us, of course, because we didn't even know each other back then. He and I were in the same area because his unit relieved our unit. Anyway, he and I have gone to a couple. He's come to our division reunion, although he was in a different division, and he got to be pretty good friends with some of our people. But we were in Kansas City and staying at the Crown Center, and it's a Crown Center is a complex put up by Hallmark, and their headquarters is there. So anyway, they've got a theater right in there. And we saw Saving Private Ryan while we were at this Army reunion. Mm-hmm.
Terrific.
So, yes, it was wrenching because I wasn't there on D-Day, and that starts out on D-Day pretty much. But it portrayed it. That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another one, Band of Brothers.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Well, that's a 10-episode.
Yeah.
And that's 101st Division that I talked about earlier. And of course they had scenes in there from the Battle of the Bulge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the way it was. Mm-hmm.
I was totally overwhelmed by it. I don't know how they could have made it more real.
No,
but I'd never experienced war. Yeah. That's why I like to ask.
Yeah, war is it's not nice.
No.
God is good to us. He only lets us remember those things that are amusing, or mm-hmm. glosses over the bad things, because there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It's not. Of course, like my friend says, getting old is not for sissies either.
No. Mm-hmm. How did you feel that the war affected your life?
Oh, it took 3 years out of it. I think it mm-hmm. allowed me time to grow up. I don't think I've suffered any adverse mm-hmm. effects. As a matter of fact, one of the great things I think that came out of the war, World War II, was the GI Bill. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, this Tom Brokaw has published a couple mm-hmm. books on the Greatest Generation. Mm-hmm. But the Greatest Generation was generated largely because of the GI Bill. It allowed millions of veterans the opportunity for an education. You know, we just come out of a bad depression. Mm-hmm. And there was 80% of the college graduates after the war that couldn't have graduated, mm-hmm. that would have had to take other jobs. It pushed our whole country into a whole new arena. I think it's responsible for everything that we've accomplished since then.
Great.
I don't think the Vietnam War accomplished much of anything. Mm. It just killed a lot of
very soldiers. Unfortunate war.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I don't agree with the war protesters either.
No. How do you feel about the war that we're fighting now in Afghanistan?
Well, I think we have to do something. Mm-hmm. We're under attack.
Yeah.
It's impossible to ignore it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of political play going on.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to blame?
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Who knew what and when?
Yeah. Yeah. That just happened today.
Yeah.
I would hope that both of the major political parties could put those things aside and get this finished, because we have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's also unfortunate that people can't live together.
No,
world
peace would really be a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it would. Elusive.
Yeah. Mr. Morrissey, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose I accomplished a few things. With two lovely daughters, grandchildren, and I think I contributed something. Enriched myself to some degree, which was fine. But nothing special.
You're too modest.
Oh, no.
You served your country.
Yeah. Proud of that.
During the most popular, greatest war.
Yeah.
Part of the greatest generation.
Yeah, yeah. But, and that's fine. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Morrissey.
You're welcome.